The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Gary Capewell, John Budden and Darren Owen in the studio. It's Bath, Lingfield and Southwell on Wednesday afternoon, so something for everybody, a bit racing on the turf, some all-weather action and jumping, and then in the evening we have an all-weather fixture at Kempton and racing over in Ireland from Gorham Park, so plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm grinding my teeth, in fact, Mark, because the naps were going all right, and yet, oh dear, on Monday, I absolutely threw it away. Nicky Richards, Tony McCoy, top billing, absolutely certain to win at Market Raisin, at Huntingdon, rather. What did I do? Go for a bigger-priced horse on the flat at Leicester, Majestic Dream, finished about 10th of 12. I haven't really recovered.
Oh, dear. Well, hopefully we'll get back on track with that, John. I suppose a few other people are grinding their teeth as well at the moment, because the fixture list is changing dramatically at the moment. We've already had all the opposition to Newcastle becoming an all-weather track, and we learned today that Toaster sold 7 of its 17 fixtures to make way for Greyhound Racing.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely extraordinary, Mark. And, you know, a very much a regressive, a downbeat move. And it is a big worry. I mean, we've seen Warwick lose its flat. Newcastle, as I say, question now about the all-weather. And, you know, I'm a bit of one foot in either camp on that score. And Toaster, well, I just cannot see the point in doing so. I was led to understand from Mark Slater and other cronies of the Greyhound world that, in fact, there wasn't a great deal of following for that particular sport. And Toaster would seem to have been a very successful jumping course with plenty of runners, and also, of course, one of those tracks which is have allowed free admission, which is, I think, a tremendously forward move. So to reduce their fixtures by sort of 35-40% is really desperate.
Yeah, it's not the best thing to read at the moment. So let's talk about some horses instead, John. See the Moon. He's an exciting prospect. Aim for him is the Ark, and we're hearing that his next engagement will be at Baden-Baden as a prep for the big race in France.
Yeah, we're really building up for the Ark, aren't we? And you know, it's going to be a tremendous race. I thought it was pretty good last year with Trave showing her quality, although, you know, she's been a little bit disappointing this particular season. It's going to be a great, great contest in France in October. But Baden-Baden, excellent place, I would have thought, for a prep race for See the Moon. A very, very impressive horse, and the timing looks absolutely right. I mean, it's going to be sort of relatively early September, plenty of time to recover, yet at the same time not to get stale. He's going to be a leading player, and if he wins really well at Baden-Baden, as I would expect him to do, you know, I think his price will contract quite significantly.
He's one of a number of horses going to the Ark with a big chance. A bit closer to time, we've got the big race coming up at Haydock this weekend, John, the Group 1 Sprint Cup, and Qatar Racing look to be taking it pretty seriously. They've left three in the lineup. Providing the ground's not too soft or too firm, we'll see Extortionist and Hot Streak, and we'll also see Pearl Secret representing them in the lineup as well. That's a pretty strong hand going into it, isn't it?
It's a very strong hand, and of course, although they've done relatively well and they've made obviously some serious buys during the summer, Group 1 victories is what it is basically all about, and they desperately need a Group 1 success by the end of the season, and this looks a good opportunity, Mark. Interesting about Pearl Secret. I thought Pearl Secret had a really top grade chance in the Beverley Bullet last Saturday. There was a worry there about the ground being a little bit too firm before the race, which is one of the reasons why I didn't nap the horse. With David Barron seemingly going to walk the track at Beverley before the race, well, obviously the ground, although quite quick, passed the trainer's footprints, and Pearl Secret did very well. I would have thought the ground at Haydock will suit that particular horse, who's relatively fresh and could be improving on the Beverley form. Of the other two, I prefer Hot Streak. I've been following that horse right the way through the season. I thought it was tremendously impressive when winning the Temple Stakes. Didn't run at all badly at Royal Ascot. And with Kevin Ryan's horses, you know, just beginning to peak form at the moment, that fifth in the Nunthorpe suggested that Hot Streak could improve. So I think Qatar have got a really good chance of gaining that elusive Group 1 success next Saturday. And of the three, I will be with Pearl Secret and Hot Streak. And loyalty being my stupidity, I'll probably stay with Hot Streak.
OK, just a quick look at the betting before we move on. Soul Power is now the favourite. 4-1 was fives earlier on in the week.
Well, he's your favourite horse of all time.
I do. I love Soul Power. He's a great horse. Gordon Lord Byron, who won the race last year, his 92 second favourite. 6-1 for Music Master. Tropics 8s. 10s for Extortionist and G-Force. 12-1 for Al Jamahir and Hot Streak. 14s for Cougar Mountain and SK Love. And then 16-1 for Pearl Secret. 20s or bigger prices for the rest. And if they stay in the lineup, John, that's going to be a cracking race.
It's going to be a tremendous race, isn't it? I mean, just two of them sort of stick out a bit. Music Master's done nothing wrong, and G-Force could be coming into a bit of form. But Soul Power's the king of the sprints, and if the ground's not too soft, and if he goes, you know, your favourite horse will take all the beating.
Yes. So that's the Betfred Sprint Cup coming up this weekend. We've also got a bit of other news to talk about before we move on. Davy Condon, who suffered a pretty nasty fall the other day on Flaxen Flare. Turns out he's fractured three vertebrae in his back, so we wish him the best, and that's a nasty injury, isn't it?
We certainly do, Mark. David Condon, you know, I thought he was a little bit unfairly dealt with when he came to this country several years ago, basically to ride for Nicky Richards. Nicky wasn't having a very good time at that particular moment, so not a great number of horses. David Condon, you know, was, I think, a little bit unfairly blamed for lack of success at that time. Went straight back to Ireland, and is one of their top jump jockeys. Terribly sad. Let's hope he recovers, you know, relatively quickly.
Yeah, hopefully so. And one more piece of news to talk about before we move on. Peddler's Cross, good old Peddler's Cross. Donald McCain announcing on, I think it was Monday afternoon, that he'll be retired. So happy retirement to him. He was a splendid horse, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a splendid horse. He didn't quite achieve his potential after such a good hurdling start, but there we are. He had setbacks, so let's hope he has a happy retirement.
Yep, hopefully so. Good stuff. That's just about does it for the news then. Let's move on to Wednesday's action, and we'll get John's thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Wednesday. John's picked out three races for us, a couple of them at Bath and one of them at Southwell, starting in chronological order in the 3:20 at Bath. This is a Class 5 handicap for three-year-olds and older over the extended 5 furlongs, and some interesting runners in here, John, the likes of Sleepwalk, and there's a few course and distance winners in here as well. So what are your thoughts here?
I think Sleepwalk will probably not live up to his name and go pretty well, but it's not my choice. There are a number of others, as you say, Mark. I thought Fantasy Justifier wouldn't be far away for Ron Harris, and the Dandy Yank has been very consistent throughout the season for Jamie Osborne. But I actually narrowed it down to two that I liked. I followed My Meteor on the last couple of occasions, particularly on the penultimate. Tony Newcomb, the sprinter, ran extremely well at Carlisle. It was the ladies' only evening fixture, and Hayley Turner came up to ride there for the first time, and this was her one outright success. She gave the horse a very, very good ride, and My Meteor came through to win nicely. I use that word seriously, because there was no question of My Meteor you're, you know, winning by sort of four or five lengths. Haley timed it perfectly. I got the horse there nicely in front on the line, but sufficiently close to the rivals so that the handicapper couldn't take a serious view. Next time out, a winner over course and distance from the consistent Hadith. Claymore on board looks to have a reasonable chance, My Meteor. And I think it will be between that one and the Bath expert, Silver Rica. Malcolm Sanders, I always like to have him on my side at the West Country course. And Silver Rica was a good winner over 5 furlongs last time out. And he's perfectly capable of winning over 5.5. A good second to Come On Dave at Windsor. I think his level of form is sound. So it's between Silver Rica and My Meteor. I'll probably choose the wrong one. I'm going to go for Silver Rica.
Okay, Silver Rica then, the selection. Does love it at Bath, so you've got that in your favour there, John. The 425 at Bath is the next we're going to look at. This is a Class 6 handicap for four-year-olds and over the extended mile and 5 furlongs. And Rolston Lass may be called a few bad names by a few people, having finished second on so many occasions recently, last 5 starts, in fact. And one of them was at Foss Lass, where he finished ahead of Sweeping Rock. So is that a key piece of form here, John?
Yes, I think it is a key piece of form, and I think he's got a really decent chance. That seems, you know, an absurd thing to say, considering he has run up this extortionately long sequence of near misses. And if ever there was a label of professional loser, you might think that Rolstone Lass was a leading candidate for it. But I just have a feeling that Richard Price has, you know, chosen this race here at Bath carefully, and it's a very low-grade handicap, and on the strength of his last sort of runs, I think he's got a really decent go. I mean, it wasn't a bad second to Storm Rider at Windsor, and as you say, there's a key bit of form, because the two horses in the race that I thought had got the best chance are Sweeping Rock, Marcus Tregoning's, and Richard Price's Rolstone Lass. And when they last met, I think I'm right in saying that Rolstone Lass was second, and yep, Sweeping Rock was third at Foss Lass.
Yes, that was 2 starts ago at Foss Lass.
And yeah, I don't really think that Rolstone Lass has regressed since that contest, or for that matter, that Sweeping Rock has seriously improved, because Sweeping Rock was not very impressive last time out. However, Marcus Tregoning at Bath with Mark Dwyer in the saddle, you've got to give that one a serious chance. Kingscombe seems to prefer better at Southall on the fibre sand. And that is about it, really. So if Rolstone Lass is going to win a race, it's got to be at Bath.
OK, Rolstone Lass then to break a frustrating run of seconds in the 425 at Bath. And the 445 at Southwell is going to be the last race we'll look at. This is a Class 4 handicap hurdle over 3 miles, so we're going jumping for this one. And some interesting runners in here. John Franklin Roosevelt wearing the visor for the first time. We've got Listen and Learn, who was second, well, beaten second, granted, but second last time, and showed an improved effort. Cardigan Island comes here in winning form. You could state a case for a few of these, John.
Yes, Cardigan Island is the horse I'm worried about in this contest, because otherwise it's got three of my relatively loyal horses running in it, Listen and Learn being one of them. Goodness gracious, Mark, A.P. McCoy. I mean, the fantastic form that man is in.
Yeah.
You know, I saw Richard Johnson, I thought, ride 2 absolutely splendid races at Perth about 10 days ago, and I thought to myself, this man is really good, and yet there he is, poor fellow, yet again, you know, miles behind Tony McCoy in the title race. And the last sort of fortnight or 3 weeks, you know, McCoy's been pulling further and further clear. Tremendous run at Worcester, and he was, of course, on top billing at Huntingdon on Monday. Listen and Learn, though, was incredibly well beaten, 25 lengths by Master of the Hall, Mickey Hammond's runner at Market Raisin last time out, and the winner's not that great, so I pass him over. Jawab interests me quite a bit. Jawab, Philip Kirby, Adam Nicol in the saddle, and Jawab likes this particular course at Southall. 3 outings ago, he set off in front and nobody could get near him. He won really convincingly and stayed the trip extremely well. I put over fences next time out as a freshener. Didn't really like that. Went to Ponte last time out on the flat and was strongly fancied to score, but sulked when overtaken around about the halfway point. And that is the trouble with Jawab, and particularly as he won so well at Southall three outings ago. I think the opposition won't let him get so far in front. And the one I like is David Pipe's Franklin Roosevelt, wearing a visor for the first time, as you say. Tom Scudamore in the saddle. He rides his course really well, Tom Scudamore. Mm-hmm. And I think he will sit and prevent Jawab getting too great a lead. And I think he's got a great chance. David Pipe's horse is in pretty good nick at the moment. So Franklin Roosevelt will be the choice.
OK, Franklin Roosevelt then in the 4:45 at Southwell. Let's just have a quick summary, John, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections for Wednesday one more time.
Well, we go to Bath, first of all, 5.5 furlong sprint, 3:20. Silver Rica is the choice there. May considerably stretching it a bit in the 4:45 at Bath, but I thought Rollstone Lass had got a really good chance of getting his nose finally in front. And then I'm with David Pipe and Tom Scudamore and Franklin Roosevelt to win the 4:45 at Southall.
OK, good stuff, John. Thank you very much. Good luck with your selections and enjoy on Wednesday.
Thank you very much, Mark.
There you go, the thoughts of Lord John Budden on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. He'll be in the studio and he'll be joined by Gary Capewell and Darren Owen. It's Bath, Lingfield and Southwell on Wednesday afternoon, Kempton and Goram Park in the evening. 5 meetings to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.